Jesus has a table spread.
Hello, friends. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I welcome you to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. I trust our broadcast will be a real blessing. And now let's come and dine around the Word of God together.
Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calls, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
And I welcome you to the Gospel Pulpit 4. This is, of course, March 7 on Saturday, March 8 on Sunday. We certainly appreciate being with you and bringing you another message of the Word of the Lord. We're going to continue with a message we started last week on Psalm 12. Well, friend, I've been telling you about reaching America with the gospel, and, well, the Lord sure has opened up some opportunities for me. He's opened up some that I didn't even know existed, maybe in the Northeast and, of course, in the West, to get on some radio stations. We're looking at maybe Arizona, New Mexico, California, somewhere in there, maybe Nebraska. We're looking in some stations right now, and we're seeing what the Lord is going to open up for us. What we're asking is 1,000 people across the America, across the listening area, to donate $10 a month for the next 1 year, or just a $120 check. Now you say, preacher, that's $120,000. You're right. But I'll tell you, radio time's expensive, and I believe that we can go on these stations and reach people for the glory of Almighty God. I really do. I'm on some stations right now. I've hardly never got no response out of it. But I say this, people are listening. When you go into the area, people tell you they listen to you on the radio. And I appreciate that. I appreciate every station that I'm on. I've got some good stations that I'm on. And I've got some stations give me the program absolutely free of charge. They really do. And then and if they don't do that, then maybe they'll give me an extra program. But some stations can't do that. I understand that some have to charge for us to be on there. And some of these stations are expensive to be on, some of them. But God has always met the need. And so I'm asking you, if you're making a check, make it to GBI. I'm asking you to pray about it. Pastor, I'm asking you to pray what your church might could do in this Reaching America project. We're going by radio. Now listen, radio is a 24-hour-a-day missionary. People listen to radio that would never, ever tell you. Amen. They'd never tell you they listen, but they listen. And so I hope you'll pray for us about that. Help us expand the gospel pulpit. And let me just say that if you'd like to do this, then you just write your check to GBI. Here's our mailing address. GBI, Post Office Box, 797 Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. Or you may call our office at 336-356-1560 and give today, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can give on the card, all right? You can also give online at gbiradio.org. Now, I hope you'll pray for us. I mean this, and pray that your money that you give will be well used, and it will be, and you just pray the Lord bless the seed as we sow it. Would you do that? So you're helping me get the gospel out. Now, I'm gonna stop and say this right here on the radio. I'm not on any radio station for people's money. I want you to understand that money means absolutely nothing to me. I don't want it. I don't dream about it. I don't work to try to get it. I live day to day. God supplies my need, and I trust the Lord. But let me just say that if it's God's will, it's God's bill. In September of 2024, I began praying about reaching America with the gospel. And God's put this, and He's putting it together. I'm seeing it come together now. And God bless us. I tell you, it's a blessing to see that we're able to reach some of these areas for the glory of Almighty God. Father, take our broadcast and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now back to the life of David. This is message number 36. We're studying Psalm 12. Let's go to our message. I want to tell you something, brother. That's what we need right now. Amen. In David's day, and this crowd stood up and said, well, who's Lord over us? We can say what we want to. And isn't it amazing today that this crowd wants to stop your free speech? But they can say anything they want to say. If we did some of the things in the name of religion that some of these people are doing today, they'd arrest us and throw the key away. But I tell you what we got to do while we've got some freedoms left in America is we need to preach the gospel. We need to tell people about Jesus Christ. Tell them about the Bible. Tell them that Jesus loves them. But yet tell them there's a judgment. Tell them there's a hell. Preachers, don't forget to preach on hell. You say, that's depressing. Well, be depressed one Sunday and preach on hell. Amen. And let people know where they're going when they die. There's some of you right now, you're not going to get saved. You're listening to me right now. You're going to end up in hell. And when you do, you'll hear the voice of this little country radio preacher telling you there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. Amen. All you say, preacher, nobody's going to tell me what to do. And you're young, and you say, boy, preacher, nobody's going to tell me. I mean, mama's not going to tell me, and daddy's not going to tell me. Well, I tell you, you'll wish one day you had a mom and daddy to tell you. I did something one time, and I forgot what it was, and my daddy said, all right, boy. He said, when you come around in that casket, and you look at me laying in the casket, you wished you wouldn't have said that. And boy, I tell you what, I thought about that when my daddy died. I think my mama said the same thing to me. Amen. I want you to know something. You better be careful, young people, what you say when you're young. I said some things when I was young to my mom and daddy I'd give $1 million I'd never said. See, I grew up and I was king of the castle, so to speak, and everybody petted me because of my eyesight, and I got away with a lot of things I ought not have got away with, and I said things I shouldn't have said. And I'm going to tell you something. You young people right now, you got a spirit of rebellion in you. You better be careful about that. That spirit of rebellion will show up one of these days. And I tell you right now, it'll rule and it'll wreck your life. Saul was a rebellious man, brother. And Saul here, now as we study Psalm 12, we see it. It's just about like our day. And this crowd said, "Why? Well, we'll speak with our tongue. You know, we'll do whatever we want to do. Nobody's going to tell us what to do." Let's just read it again, Psalm 12:4. The Bible said, "Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail." Well, they think they're going to prevail. They think our words, in other words, you do as I say and not as I do. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Well, you'll find out who your lips are one day. This liberal crowd, this communistic crowd, Jesus loves you. He wants to save you. But if you don't come to God, you'll find out who the Lord is. Read Revelation chapter 5. And brother, everything in heaven, everything in earth, everything under the earth is blessing and honoring God for His glory and His power. Revelation chapter 5, you read that. Now, let's go to Psalm 12, verse number 5. The Bible said, "For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him." Well, God said this. He said, I'm going to arise. The way you do it, you know, we've never lived in a day when people are, extorting people is the right word, taking money. All these telephone calls that you get, these trick calls, it tricks old people. And people just after your money, people stealing your debit cards and all this kind of stuff today, and scams that go on all the time. You think God ain't going to judge all that? You may not have heard this preached in a while, but I tell you one thing, sir, you may be a scammer. You may sit there and scam people on a computer, but I'll tell you one thing, your judgment will be hot. And if you die and go to hell, it won't be too hot for you, judge for taking people, old widows' money and people's money. I've never took anything, defrauded anybody in my life. By God's grace, the meanest man in the world be a man to get on the radio and defraud people. I wouldn't do that. Let me tell you something, brother. I care about the people I preach to. I care about the young. I care about the old. I care about the middle-aged. And more than me, Jesus cares about you. And God will protect these people. And God will judge. You say, preacher, I've been done way wrong in my life. People's took a bunch of money off of me. I'll tell you right now, God will judge. I know where there's a man. I had a friend of mine. And this man, I'm not going into the story because I'm on local radio in the area and I don't know the full details of everything. But the man called me one day and he was old. And this man had a lot of tragedy in his life. He married late in life and him and his wife, boy, they were just happy. And one day they had an automobile accident and his wife got killed. And the man would call me and just cry over his wife. And the man had quite a bit of money stored away. But one day, the man did not have his money in the bank. The man had his money somewhere, and I won't say where it was, but he had the money hid. The man told me where he had it hid, and he told me how much money it was. And one day, somebody stole this man's money. All of his life savings just stole it right at money. The man was in his 80s when this happened. Now, I don't know who stole that money, and I don't know if the police ever caught him. I don't know anything, but I don't even know how the thing ended up. I guess the man's dead by now, but he used to call me and talk to me. I guess he's gone on to heaven now. If he didn't, he'd be 100-year-old, but now I guess. But I'll promise you one thing, God knows who stole that money. And I'll promise you this, there'll be a reckoning day. And there'll be a judgment day. You say, preacher, I've done things nobody knows about. Well, you hang around a while. God will reveal them one day. He may not on this side, but He'll reveal them. You won't get by with it. No, sir. Amen. God said, I'm gonna take care of that. Verse number 6 says this. You see, God said in verse 5, He had set them in safety. And then God backed it up. God backed it up with the authority of his Bible. Boy, ain't that good. By the way, you say, preacher, what makes you preach the way you do with the authority you do? The Bible. The King James Bible is my book. It's my authority. It is the book, whether you believe it or not. You may be so educated until your brain done rolled out your ear and left you a long time ago. But I'll promise you one thing. God will judge you by this book. You preachers, God will judge you how you preach according to this Bible. You may not believe it. You may laugh at it. You may deny it. But you can't get around the Word of God. It all comes back to what, and by the way, this is what David knew in his day. David knew Saul is wicked. He talked in Psalm 59 about the cussing and all that they were doing. I mean, just wicked men on every side. They wasn't supposed to be that way, but they were. But you know what David leaned in? The Word of God. And by the way, David didn't even have all the Bible. The New Testament had not been written yet. And part of the Old Testament had been written because David was writing it right then. And let me tell you something. You know what David did? He trusted in those parts of the Word of God that he had. I don't know how David had access to the law at this young age, but David sure did know his Bible. Now look at verse number 6, Psalm 12, verse number 6. The Bible said, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." I believe every word in this King James Bible. I believe that the Authorized King James Bible is the Bible for the English-speaking people of our day. I believe that. Amen. Now, let me tell you something. I'm not going to, and I was talking to my pastor about this the other night. I am weary, and I'm going to go ahead and say it on the radio. I'm weary of these commentary writers that are always correcting the translation of the King James Bible. Let me tell you something. If this Bible's not true, you don't have a salvation. You don't have a blood. You don't have a church. You don't have an altar. You don't have anything. I believe this Bible, and I'm not too smart, thank God that I'm not, to get away from my Bible. I believe every word of God is pure. That's what the Bible said in the book of Proverbs. And then he talked about the words with an S on the end of them here. Now, I've heard people say this. There was a preacher who really helped me about this last year, and he was preaching a message, and I was listening to it, and boy, he really helped me. Now, I've heard this. Have you ever heard this? Well, there's parts of the Bible that should not be taught in public. You ever heard that? Now, I'm going to give you a little Greek. Y'all ready for the Greek? Hogwash and pickle juice. All right. Is that okay with y'all? That's okay, ain't it? Hogwash and pickle juice on that. Let me tell you something. This Bible is pure. Now, unpure man, unholy man makes it unholy and unpure. But every word of God can be taught in public. I could start in Genesis and go verse by verse and preach every verse on this radio and never say anything to be offensive, amen, or off-colored or ugly, because this Bible is pure. The word, now men make it into something it ain't. But I promise you, this Word of God is pure, and you'll be judged by it. Oh, I want to thank God. Can I stop and thank God for my Bible? The little kids sing that song, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Thank God. There was a time, and there is a time, some of you still do. Us Baptists believe the Bible. And praise God, you've got one right here that still believes the Bible. I believe every word in the Bible. I believe that Daniel, amen, was put in a den of lions. I believe that Noah built an ark. I believe that Jonah was in the belly of a whale. And if God had said that Jonah had swallowed the whale, I'd have believed that too. Amen. I believe that Jesus Christ lived. He was virgin born. He lived. He died. His body was placed in a virgin tomb. And on the first day of the week, amen, I believe he came out and lives victorious in heaven. Amen, right now. You say, preacher, all that's a fairy tale. What are you trusting in? You take the facts of creation. You know, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. I believe that. Do you believe it? Well, it sure does beat your philosophy of evolution way back in the beginning of time. I don't know exactly when. I was a tadpole when I began to begin. And then I became a frog with my tail tucked in. And then I was a monkey in a coconut tree. But I swung too high and my tail broke off. I hit the ground, went across the street, got me a suit of clothes, and became a man with a Ph.D. Now, do you really expect? I mean, I don't believe that stuff. Somebody said the earth is 375 million years old. Well, I'm glad you was around to authenticate that. Thank you. They dug a bone up in Iowa. They're so excited about this dinosaur bone that they dug up. Oh, it's 100 million years old. They dated it. They tested it. It's a hog jaw. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Some of you would be better off if you got your science in line with the Bible. I'm going to tell you this. God will never get in line with you. He never will. Amen. No, sir. You don't put God in. Well, the Bible needs to be. And that's what they're saying right now. We need to update the Bible because of all this race theory and all that. Let me tell you something. I love all people. Black, white, rich, poor. Wherever you come from, South America, North America, Europe, Germany, Asia, Africa, Australia, I love you all. But I want to say to you, this Bible don't change for anybody. The reason men, and the underlying reason that men want to change the Bible is S-I-N. Now, Saul would have changed the Bible if he could. You see, God had told Saul he was going to end his kingdom, and yet Saul was trying to set Jonathan up as king, and we'll see that a little bit later. And Saul would have changed the word of God if he had got a chance of it. But David is saying right now, now you got to understand, David's about 18 when he wrote this. He said, the words of the Lord are pure words. They've been tried in that day. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Now you're going to find a little bit later in our study of David that Saul had no respect for anybody. Saul killed the priest. Why, brother, Saul killed him. Amen. And let me tell you something. When you get rebellious and you get backslid on the Lord, you can do anything. Somebody said, oh, when you get saved, you won't ever sin anymore. I'll give you a little bit more Greek. Hogwash and pickle juice. Let me tell you something, brother. I believe you'll see Saul in heaven. But I believe Saul was so out of the will of God, and Saul went against those priests and killed them. Saul had no regard for the Bible. And David knew that. And that's why I believe he said the word's been tried. Even in Saul's day, they tried the word of God, but it came out on top. Why? Because God always comes out on top, because God's always right. Amen. 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 The word of God is preserved. Amen. By the way, isn't it amazing how your Bible is preserved? And by the way, wasn't it amazing in David's day how that God preserved the word of God even in David's day? Now, Saul would have totally destroyed the Bible if he could have got away with it. But the Bible said, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. They're pure words. But God just protected that word. I believe it was in Psalm 19. He talked about preserving the word of God. Now notice, well, actually in the next verse here, he's going to talk about that. Let's notice verse 7. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now, one commentary writer said, he said, well, that's just talking about this passage of Scripture here in Psalm 12. Well, wait a minute. I agree with that and I disagree with that. Yes, it is talking about Psalm 12, but it's talking about the entire Bible. If God had not preserved the Bible, you wouldn't have a Bible. By the way, you have an inspired, preserved Bible. The King James Bible. You have it in your homes, in your cars, on your phones. You have it. It's not just the preserved Word of God, but it is the inspired, preserved Word of God. As one of my friends, preacher friends, said one time, he gave me this illustration. He helped me with this thing about being inspired and preserved. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. All right? You got a man laying on the ground. He's got a liver, got kidneys, got heart, got blood, got legs, arms, eyes, ears, nose, and 10 toes. All right? He's laying on the ground. Well, all right, man, get up. Let's do something. Let's go plow the garden. Man don't move. You kick the man. Man don't move. Well, come on, man, let's go. Let's go be a doctor today and cure some sick folk. Man don't move. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Boy, if that was it. Wait a minute. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Now, you know what that was? That was the breath of God. You know what the word inspired means? It means the breath of God. God breathed this Bible into existence. And that's why man can't destroy it. Man can't burn it. Man can't do away with it. That's why the government can't do away with it. You can't get it. You can't get rid of it. You know why? It's from God. You know why it's hated? You know what the King James Bible is hated more than any other Bible or book they are on earth? You know why? Do you know why? Because it's God's book. It's God's book. And men hates it. Why, the Antichrist will totally try his best do away with the Word of God. Amen. But it's God's Word, and it'll stand forever. And God has preserved it. You ever thought about the book of Luke? It's amazing to me when I really began to study some of this. Luke is an amazing fellow in the Bible. Luke was a medical doctor. By the way, for all you charisma people that get your miracles every day, the book of Acts, where you get all your twisted doctrine from that you twist. Not the Acts is not twisted doctrine, but you twist it and make it twisted. You know, you think you can still heal everything from a headache to a nosebleed. I just want to tell you that Acts was written by a medical doctor. For those of you who don't believe in doctors and medicine, I just want to tell you that Acts was written by a medical doctor. Does that let you down a little bit? Okay, but Acts is written by a medical doctor. Hey, listen, I want to tell you something. But anyway, Luke wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts, and one man said he wrote more of the New Testament than Paul because his books were longer. But Luke wrote the Bible and gave it to one man. God entrusted two books of the Bible to Luke, and he wrote them to Theophilus and gave them to one man. I want to ask you a question. What did Theophilus do with those books? You know, a lot of times I've got books I've bought. I looked at them the other day. I got stacks of books. I got a whole stack of books on my desk that ain't never been read. They're enough hours and day to read all those books. I don't know why in the world I buy them. I just love books. I guess I just love them. I love books, and I just like to buy them. And one day when I die, some preacher will want every book I got. Amen. He can have them, I guess. Amen. But what I'm trying to say to you is this. If he pays for them, those books cost me a lot of money. But what I'm trying to say to you is this. Sometimes I'll get a book and put it on the shelf. But old Theophilus didn't get those books and put them on a shelf. Had he put them on a shelf, you wouldn't have Luke and Acts today. Right? Amen. You know what God did? He preserved them. Amen. Think about that. He preserved them. Remember that word of God over in the book of Jeremiah? That Jeremiah told Barak to take over there, put a stone in it, throw it in the Euphrates River? You remember that? You remember that? How did that writing get out of the Euphrates River? Yeah. Well, this Bible, I tell you right now, you see how to get out. It's God's business, not yours. You see, our problem is, as preachers, we try to explain everything. Did you know, I'm going to tell you preachers something. You might have spent 10 years in Bible college. There's going to be things in the Bible you still ain't going to explain. You can argue and debate about them all you want to, but there's some things you just ain't going to be able to explain. Amen? Let me read again Psalm 12 and verse number 7. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The Word of God is preserved forever. You can't do away with the Bible. You've heard me give this statement. I may have probably given it already in this life of David. You preach 36 sermons on something, you probably repeat yourself 100 times. But old Voltaire said, in 100 years, he said, the Bible will perish. And he said it'll be extinct. 100 years from that day, they were printing Bibles from the very room that he made that statement. And I heard a story about how he died. Did you know his atheist buddies wouldn't let anybody in to watch him die? Wonder why. Back in those days, they didn't have all the dope and the drugs when people died. And brother, they didn't have that today. You'd see people go out of here. And I believe this. Now, this is. I'm just saying where I interject Ricky here. I'm not adding to the Bible. I do not know this for a fact. But I know that the angels carry people away when they die into God. I believe that because the angels carried the rich man into Abraham's bosom. Well, the devil's got a counterfeit for everything God does. I'll ask you a question. Could it be that the demons carry a man when he dies lost? They come to his dying bed, the demons carry him away? I don't know, but I know this. You have heard of men crying and screaming when they die. Brother, you're going to die like you live. They dope people up now. They say, we want to make you comfortable when you die. You know, yeah, because they don't nobody to see that. And actually, nobody wants to hear a man scream and go out that way. But what I'm saying to you is this. Brother, the devil's taking people to hell. And men die. But let me say this to you. The Word of God tells you how you can live. Now, in verse, isn't it amazing this 18-year-old boy, David, had enough wisdom to know that God preserved the Bible and that God kept the Bible from that generation from then on? Verse number 8 says this, and I close with this one. He says, when he talked about preserving the Word of God, and by the way, it is a spiritual warfare. We're going to fight the devil. We're going to fight the devil now. Until the day we die. You know that? God preserved the Word. We're going to preach the Word. That's God's way. But we're going to fight the devil all the way. Somebody said, I'm getting tired of fighting the devil, brother. Every generation, every preacher, every church, every spirit-filled believer that has ever done anything for God has fit the devil all the way to glory. And I'll be glad one of these days. Amen. But in verse number 8, this is how bad it was in Saul's day. You tell me, does this sound like our day, the day we're living in right now? The wicked walk on every side when the vilest of men are exalted. You know what we're doing in America right now? We're calling evil good. Things that we used to thunder from our pulpits 40 years ago, we have accepted in the churches nowadays. Oh, you say, preacher, times have changed. They sure have. But the Bible has not. Amen? I mean, listen, brother, there was a time when we preached against homosexuality. It's in just about every family now you can name. Amen. Somebody. Listen, there's a time we preached against that. There's a time we preached against this long hair on these boys that look like a bunch of hippies. And brother, let me tell you something. Because you say, well, that preaching ran off a lot of people. That preaching thinned out a lot of rebellious people. Now, well, hold on a minute. Hold the mule just a minute. I don't agree with hateful preaching and pulpit cussing and all that kind of stuff. You're not going to win anybody to God like that. But I will tell you, there's a time when the man of God ought to preach. You see, the reason that people are so wicked today, they're not afraid of it. We have no law and order in America. We have no consequences. We have taught nothing in our churches. You know, you ever heard this? Well, it's okay to tell a little white lie. Where'd you get that at? The Bible said that the devil is the father of lying. Brother, a little white lie, big black lie, it's all of the devil. Amen. It's all the Christian people ought to be honest. You see, if we get our folk in line again, we're trying to say America needs to get right, but what about our churches? Amen. We need to get right. We need to get our people right. You know, there are people today, right now, you've got business and you're saved. You're on the deacon board and you're dishonest as the day is long. You're dishonest. You cheat people. Well, now, preacher, you just have to do it. That's business. Let me tell you something. Business ought to be honest. For 25 years, I have had the privilege of serving as the president of Gospel Broadcasting Incorporated. I founded the ministry. We founded this ministry 25 years ago. By the grace of God, I try to be honest. I try to be upright. Now, there are some things that's put on us that I don't like. And there are some things we have to do that I don't like. And I'm sure my office don't like all the things that they have to do to comply with every rule that is put before us. But I want to say something about that. I've never had a problem with the federal government, not one time. I've never had a problem with the Federal Communications Commission in Washington. I've never had a problem. And let me tell you something about that. If you'll obey the rules, you won't have a problem. Amen. But I tell you, the reason the wicked walk on every side is people today want to live in a society with no rules. Why, the average person on their job, all they think about is what time the work bell sounds or the whistle blows when they can go home. They don't think about doing a good job for their employer. They're there for you ever heard this? Well, I'm just here to get a paycheck. And that's about what. By the way, if you're just on any job to get a paycheck, you won't do a good job. Now, I'm off my message, but I'm going to say this. The wicked are exalted when we put them up. And it's wickedness the way our country is turned after money. You know, doctors used to doctor people because they wanted to get them well. Nowadays, we got glorified death panels set up in these hospitals, and I could expose it on the radio. I could tell you some things, and your hair would stand up on your head, and you'd say, "Preacher, where in the world did you come up with that?" No, they're not. They're not. They're not the way you think they are. But there are people dying needlessly today in our hospitals across America. Let me say something to you, friend. The wicked are exalted. You see, man has took life in his own hands. Why, there's a crowd right now. A few years ago, a year or two ago, the Supreme Court rolled back the Roe versus Wade decision. And there are people that have been mad ever since. They don't stop to think about the little life of a little baby. 70 million people that we killed innocently in America over the span of about 40 years. Brother, let me tell you something, brother. It's a wonder God ain't already judged America. Almost 50 years. Let me tell you something. Yeah, 50 years. Listen, God is still on the throne, brother. And I'm going to close with this verse. I'm going to read verse 8 again. Now, this is going on in David's day. The same it is. You say, boy, this is new things. We've never seen it like this before. No, it's been before. David, Saul's day was the same way. Verse number 8, Psalm 12. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest of men are exalted. Now, I'm going to close with this verse. I read this verse in my young days, and this verse is in my heart. Friend, we come to the end of our radio broadcast for this Saturday, March 7, Sunday, March the 8th. We've been studying on the life of David, message number 36 on Psalm 12. If you like this entire message, it's R453-36. We'd be glad to send it to you free of charge today. Our mailing address will be given to you at the end of the radio broadcast. Hope you'll tell a friend and neighbor about us and join us again next week. May God bless you, is my prayer. Well, friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. Address your cards and letters to the Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017.
I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I hope you'll tune in again on the same station at the same time for another Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast when we come and dine around the Word of God together.
All the time, He who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine to the hungry.